My name is Josh. I was an intern here for the past two summers, not this summer, just got back from New York at another internship. It was great. Trust me, they weren't as great as you, but I'm glad to be back. I go to Clark Summit University, going into my last year. Super excited about. And yeah, it's just always a pleasure to be back. So I'm really thankful to be back here. And I'm really excited for this message today I've been putting together. But this was also a pretty hard message. I'd say probably one of the harder messages putting together. That has to do with the fact that today it's really not going to be an easy talk. This is going to be a little bit of a harder topic to walk through. Today I want to talk about tragedy. And, you know, maybe for some of you, you've been walking through tragedy, and you've experienced this, and it often leaves us with the question of, how do I respond? And where is God in tragedy? But today I want to look at God's word and see what that says, and we'll get right into it. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be with each other and be in your presence. And thank you, Lord, that we have this chance to read your word. What we're going to be talking about today, God, is for some of us really, really might be hard to hear. And pray that you would help us to get rid of any distractions that we come into today with, and we would take this time to just focus on you, focus on your word. I pray that you'd speak to our heart as we look at Mary and Martha and their story today and how their brother died and how they responded. Pray that, Lord, you'd give us wisdom, that you'd speak through me and help us to know, Lord, how we can respond to the tragedy and the hardship that we all face. So we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. As I said, I'm really glad to be back, to be here. Thank you for joining. I also want to welcome the online campus. So glad that you could be with us as well. And before we go too deep into this, I do want to give a few warnings before going into the passage. The first one is I don't want it to come off as if I know your story. Because I don't. I don't know your story, don't know what you walked through, and I'm not going to act like I know exactly what it is and I know exactly how to fix it. So that is not what I'm saying. And I also want to give another warning that the message is going to be hard to hear, maybe for two different reasons. Maybe the first reason that this is more so for you, it's because you don't really relate to it. Maybe, you know, in the moment you're in right now in life, you haven't been walking through tragedy exactly. You haven't experienced much tragedy in the past. So talking about what we're looking at today might be hard because you don't relate, but that doesn't mean it doesn't apply. So what we're talking about still does apply to every single one of us because we all experience life, and life can get hard. So this applies to all of us, but for some of you, this might be hard because this is going to really hit home. If that is you, then whatever it is you're walking through, I'm sorry. And hopefully that as we look at this story, that you're able to find hope and encouragement from this and knowing how you can respond to this. So to kind of give some groundwork to what we're talking about, kind of want to define exactly what tragedy is and what we're walking into. So a definition I found of tragedy is an event causing great suffering, destruction, and distress. Some examples of this could consist of a death in the family or of a close friend, any kind of family trauma, any kind of abuse that you have faced, maybe it's a really bad car crash, maybe it's natural disasters that you've lived through. Maybe it's receiving a life-threatening diagnosis or a really, really bad diagnosis. The list goes on. of different tragedies you may have experienced. And oftentimes we struggle, as I've said, in how we can respond to it and know where to go from here, to know where does God fit into this story. I want to walk through a passage today, John 11. If you have Bibles, you can flip there. John 11, I want to walk through a story of two sisters who experienced a tragedy in their life, the death of their brother, Lazarus. Maybe you're familiar with this story, but we're going to walk through this today and look at their story and see what we can take away from their experience of walking through tragedy. And after reading their story, know what are things we need to remember as we face tragedy and hardship in our own life. So beginning John chapter 11, I'm starting at verse 1. I'll read through, starting at verse 1. Says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one, the same Mary, who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent a word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" It's important to note that the sickness that Lazarus has, it's not some cute little cold. You know, he's like sick. Like, the dude has like COVID or something. Like, I'm sorry if I shouldn't say that. I feel like it's a swear word now. He's really sick. And then I want to land here for a little bit. Verse 4 says, "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" So, verse 4, if you have a highlighter, if you highlight verses, verse 4 in John 11 is a verse to highlight. It's a verse to circle, because this is the main point of the entire story. So Jesus, before this story unravels, we already have the main point and the bottom line, that what is about to happen is for God's glory, and it's to bring glory to his Son. That is the entire point of what we are about to see. The title of this message is "My Story, Your Glory." Every single one of us here has a story. Will you let God use your story to bring him glory? That is the question. If there's anything you take away from this message, it's this. Your story and your life is meant to bring God glory. It's meant to point people to Jesus. Will you let it? And whatever the tragedy, the hardship, whatever it is that you face, let it be used to bring glory to God so that you can have others be fixed on him as well. So then I want to just kind of highlight verses 5 through 16. I'm not going to read through them, but verses 5 through 16, we see Jesus is talking with his disciples at this point. He finds out that Lazarus is sick, and they're talking about he's updating them what happened to Lazarus, what's going to happen, and then when they're going to leave. So one thing I do want to point out from those verses when he's talking with the disciples is that he waits a few days to go to Lazarus. So that is really important. As soon as he heard about it, he didn't go right away. He waited a few days, then he left. We're going to come back to that later in the message, but just remember that it's going to be important. So then moving on, I want to start at verse 17, and what I have from 17 on, I believe, is things that we need to remember when we're facing tragedy. I have 5 different things I think we can take away from facing tragedy, but also I want to clarify, there really is more than 5. As I read through this story, that was something that was really hard about this message in particular, was there's so many more. Like, when you read the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there's a lot to take away in how we can respond and face tragedy in our life. But for today, I have 5 that I think are really, really important for us to remember. So starting at verse 17, and I'll clarify what verses I'm reading, because I'm going to be jumping around throughout this whole story. So 17 to 20 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. So we see here that Martha ran to Jesus. And then I want to skip over to verses 28 and 29. It says, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. So we see that Mary and Martha had a very similar response in knowing that Jesus was there and running towards him. What I find cool about Martha is that Jesus wasn't even there yet. She didn't even see Jesus. It says she heard that he was coming, and she ran. What direction she ran in, I don't know. But she ran after him. So you can see the urgency there is to this. And that's where I want to land for this first point. First thing to remember when facing tragedy is to run to Jesus and not away from him. I think so often what we do is we actually run away without even realizing it. We run away from Jesus after so many other things that we don't even recognize that. When really, we're doing the complete opposite of what we should be doing, because the weaknesses that we have, the weaknesses that we face, the hardships, the trials, the tragedy, those are the exact things that qualify us to run to Jesus. That's the exact reason we should be running to him in prayer. But so often we do the opposite because we feel like we're too low, maybe, or not qualified, not good enough, too far away. All of these things are lies that really aren't true. Those are the exact things, these are the exact reasons why we should and can run to Jesus. So we shouldn't choose to run away from him. Jesus literally tells us in the Bible, he says, if you were weary, if you were heavy burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus is asking us to come to him. Then I want to read in verses 30 and 31. He says, now Jesus had not entered the village yet, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Another reason why it's so important to run to Jesus is because other people notice that. When you see somebody in your life running to Jesus in hardship, that stands out because that's not a natural response. That's not how we naturally respond to tragedy or hardship. The Jews that were with Mary, they didn't even think of that. They saw how quickly she got up. They assumed she was going to the tomb to grieve at Lazarus' tomb. No, she got up so urgently to run to Jesus. We see the urgency and how that stands out so much. One of my roommates at school, he has a little sister that, when you talk about tragedy, she's experienced so much stuff and has had really, really tough diagnoses that have come back, and it's been really hard for that, just that whole family. And I remember last year, around the same time as now, it was during leadership week, right before school started, we were all at the school, and I remember he got a really hard, really rough update from his family on how she was doing. And I remember it was really hard for him. I remember for a day or two, he wasn't in any of the leadership training classes we were having that week because he was just figuring things out, talking with family. And I remember when he finally did come and we saw him, we were in the one classroom, and I remember he wanted to get in front of everyone, kind of explain where he's been, what's been going on. He explained the whole situation. He was asking for prayer, so we took time to pray for her. And then I remember right after that, he said something along the lines of just knowing that, you know, after all this, as hard as it is, I know God is good and I can still trust him. And we all heard that, and like the room went silent and everyone just got goosebumps. Like, to see how hard, and there's so much more to the story for my roommate and everything that he's walked through in his life, to know that he just had another thing hit on him and he makes that statement. It was so cool to hear. Very humbling to hear. That's something that has, obviously, I remember it now. It's stuck out to me since then. We're kind of getting the same picture here with how Mary ran to Jesus, and other people notice that. When you are fixed on Jesus and you trust in him, people will recognize that. So that gives us all the more reason to run after him instead of running away. And then in verses 25 and 26, Jesus actually gives us the why. Why we should be running to Jesus. In verse 25, he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? We should be running to Jesus. We can run to Jesus because he is the resurrection. He is life. Something that we don't recognize consciously, maybe, is that when you're experiencing hardship, when you're experiencing tragedy, all of us run to something. You may not recognize that, but that's true of every person. Because what happens is we feel this moment of we need something to almost fulfill us because we've experienced this loss or this emptiness, so we're running to something. I think oftentimes we're not running to Jesus. Instead, we're running to other things, like we're running to relationships. We're running to our job. We're running to money. We're running to drugs. We're running to isolation. We're running to all these things because we want this to give us this joy or peace or satisfaction that we're not getting from the tragedy we're walking through. When really we run to all these things in the world, and we still feel empty. We still feel disappointed. But when we choose to run to Jesus, Jesus tells Martha that he brings dead things back to life. He is the resurrection. That when we put our faith in Jesus, we believe in him, we give him our life, and we're going to live for him, that we can have confidence that we're going to be with him forever. We won't be here anymore, but we'll be with Jesus forever. That's why we can run to Jesus instead of the rest of the things that this world can offer us. So that's the first thing to remember. When walking through tragedy, run to Jesus. Don't run away from him. And then moving on after that, I'm going to read verse 21 and 22. It says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus. This was right after Martha ran to him and got to him. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Then I want to skip to verse 32. This is when Mary got to Jesus. So verse 32 says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, we have a very similar response from the both of them and how they responded to Jesus. Notice they had faith because they believed that if Jesus was there, they believed in Jesus and who he was and that he was the Messiah. They believed that Jesus, if you were here, you have the power to heal him. but you weren't. So they had faith, but they blamed him for not showing up. I feel like a lot of us may feel that same way. You feel like you're praying for God to just show up in your circumstances, and you feel like you're talking to a wall. Only if Jesus was there, everything would be better. That's where Mary and Martha are at right now. Jesus is right in front of them. And our prayer may be very similar to what theirs was. They're saying, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you were here, if you were good, my family member wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you were good, if you loved me, I wouldn't have gotten fired from my job. Jesus, if you were good, my family wouldn't have gotten in that crash. Jesus, if you loved me, I wouldn't be struggling the way that I am right now. Jesus, if you were good, we wouldn't have gotten the diagnosis that we got. We ask these questions, and ultimately all these questions are the same thing, is that, God, if you're good, why would bad things happen? That is a question a lot of people have today. Why would a good God let bad things happen? Where I want to introduce the second thing to remember when facing tragedy is that your tragedy is not Jesus' fault. It's important for us to know why bad things happen. And in order for us to understand that, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, where we read Genesis chapter 1, we read Genesis chapter 2, and we look at how God created the world. It was a perfect world. That's how the world was meant to be. That's how he created it. It was meant to be a good and perfect world. And then we read Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve are deceived. They eat of the fruit they shouldn't. And sin enters the world. The reason bad things happen in this world is because we live in a sin-filled world. That's not how God intended to create it, because the world was perfect. So bad things happen because sin is in it, and we're all imperfect people. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're imperfect, living amongst other imperfect people. We all make mistakes. And then not only that, but the second reason that I think we don't pay attention to enough is that we have an enemy who is targeting us and has a motive to destroy. That's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. He deceived them. But what he does, and the exact thing he wants to do, is he wants to convince us that God is the bad guy. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. Because he convinced them, God's holding back from you. Just eat of the fruit. He's telling us the same thing. If Jesus was there, if Jesus was good, if Jesus loved you, that wouldn't have happened. He didn't show up. The enemy wants us to believe in that lie, when in reality, we live in a corrupt world, and the tragedy isn't Jesus' fault. So this is the second thing to remember, that our tragedy is not his fault. Then I'm going to read verses 33 through 36. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Third thing to remember when facing tragedy is that Jesus is with you and he is weeping with you. We see this here. We truly get to see the heart of Jesus. Now, this miracle, this of all the miracles we read in Scripture, this is probably one of my favorites because of this. Asking the question, why was Jesus weeping? Because we know, maybe you know, spoiler alert, if you don't know the story, Lazarus dies and he rises up again. So sorry if I spoiled that for you. But Jesus knows how the story ends. He knows in a couple of minutes what's about to happen. And he could have went up to Mary and Martha and said, hold on, you don't need to cry. Something crazy is about to happen. So then we have to ask, why was he weeping then? It's because when he saw them hurting the way they were at the loss of their brother, it hurt him. It doesn't matter if he knew what was going to happen, because he knew the state they were in, and it destroyed him. Jesus feels the same way about us when we're grieving and we're weeping and we're walking through the tragedy. Jesus is weeping with us. Grieving is a very natural response we have to tragedy, but it's also a very necessary one. It's a process that we walk through, and sometimes we convince ourselves that we're walking through that process alone. It's important, of course, to have people around you to be there. You shouldn't isolate yourself. You need a supporting system around you. But don't convince yourself that Jesus isn't there. Jesus is right there with us, weeping with us. Sometimes our prayers so often look like we're praying and we feel like we're in a pit and we're asking God, can you please pick me up out of this pit that feels endless and hopeless that I can't get out of? When in reality, we feel like our perspective is we're looking out of the pit up to Jesus, hoping and praying that he'll pick us up out of it, when that's not right, because the real perspective is he's sitting right next to us. He's not looking down to us. We see throughout the whole New Testament, we see Jesus. We see Jesus is there with the disciples. May not be physically, but we see his spirit. We see the Holy Spirit moving. And we could be confident in that same thing. So remember that Jesus is weeping with us, and he is always with us. Then moving on, in verse 38, it says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Fourth thing to remember when walking through tragedy is that your story is for other people too. It's not just for you. Remember how in the beginning of this text, I talked about how Jesus waited and the disciples waited a few days to go to Lazarus? He didn't go over immediately. That's where this is important, because if Jesus went there right away, we could assume maybe Lazarus didn't die yet. Maybe he's still sick. And this could have been a much more private healing that happened, where he healed Lazarus' sickness and he's fine. But instead, we see, because of Jesus' delay, what in our minds we think is a delayed reaction, it's actually just his perfect timing. Because Lazarus died, but Jesus said, I have something greater I want to show you. He wanted to prove to them, he wanted to display to them who he really is and the power that he has, that he's going to bring the dead man back to life. And he was doing this, he says here, for the people who were there to see it. Because there's a whole audience. All the disciples are there. Mary and Martha are there. The Jews that were with Mary and Martha are there. There are a lot of people watching this. Imagine standing there watching Jesus in this moment. To what Mary and Martha, they thought this was a failure, that he was late and there's nothing to do now. But we shouldn't see it that way, because Jesus has something in store. Our story can be used for the sake of other people. And the hardships that we experience, the tragedy that we walk through, that can be used for the benefit of other people. So we have to remember that your story is for the benefit of other people as well. Then I want to read in verses 43 and 44, the end of the story. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus is alive. So the last thing to remember when walking through tragedy is that Jesus has the final say. Jesus is in control over everything, and he has the final say for all. Now, I want to clarify what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is, say, if you experienced a death in the family or of a close friend, that you're going to walk home from the service and they're going to be walking around in the house, well and alive. I'm not saying that. I'm also not saying that if you have experienced or know someone close who's experienced receiving a life-threatening diagnosis, that is going to go away. Can't promise any of these things, but what I am saying is that Jesus is good and that Jesus is in control. There is nothing that catches him by surprise. There is nothing outside of his hands. He has a good plan. Romans 8:28 says God has caused all things to work together for the good of those who loved him. And it may be really hard for you in the moment that you're walking through that seems hopeless, that seems endless, that seems like you can't control it, that there is nothing good that can come out of it. But as we mentioned before, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the one that brings dead things back to life. Don't underestimate the power that Jesus has. No matter what the result is of the tragedy, we can rest in the fact that Jesus is still on his throne. And we can rejoice in that. And we can be thankful for that. No matter what, Jesus has the final say. So to close, I want to recap 5 things to remember when we're walking through tragedy. Run to Jesus. Don't run away from him. Your tragedy isn't Jesus' fault. Jesus is weeping with you and for you. Your story is for other people too. And Jesus has the final say. Maybe one or some or all of these really hit you. But these are the things we need to remember when we're walking through tragedy. And as I talked about in the beginning of this, verse 4, that's the bottom line. It's the whole point of this. Before all this happened, Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he said, "This is for God's glory. This is to bring glory to the Son." I don't know, as I mentioned, what your story is, what you've walked through, what you're facing, but I want to know if this did really hit home for you, if you've really experienced tragedy in your life and you're walking through it. I don't know if you've been told this, but I want you to know that it's going to be okay. Maybe you don't feel like it's going to be. But as a person who has given our life to Jesus, we can always rest in the fact that he's still on his throne. He's still good. That he's right there with us, that he loves us, and that we're not alone in the tragedy, but that our story can be used for God's glory. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the time we had to read your word and look at Mary and Martha's story as they lost their brother temporarily. Pray, Lord, that you would help anyone here who is really struggling with tragedy that they may have faced and are walking through, and I pray that you would give them hope and help them to see your light in the midst of the darkness, that you would remind us to run to you and not anything else, and to be reminded that you are the resurrection, that you are still on your throne, and we can rejoice in that. So we thank you, Lord, for your love and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.